Ever wonder the true power of sports? Well, you come to the right place. Welcome to the Sports for Social Impact podcast. I'm David Thibodeau, and I believe that by exploring the intersection between sport and society, we can better leverage the sport industry for maximum impact. We explore what sport's true power is to understand the impacts on and the impacts of sports on society. Join me as we learn how sports can influence important policy areas such as the environment, transportation, education, and so much more. So a little bit of a quick, exciting announcement before we really get into this episode. I just wanted to take a second to say that this is the 75th episode of the Sports for Social Impact podcast. So we are, super excited to have hit this milestone. We've had so many really great, interesting conversations, highlighted so many great organizations and people, and with all the work that is being done in the sports sector to maximize impact. And we really love having these conversations, and we are so excited for this episode, for every episode that we've had, and every episode that we will have. So I just wanted to give a huge shout out to everybody for listening, and thank you so much. Ryan Redondo is the CEO of Youth Tennis San Diego and the Barnes Tennis Center. Ryan has spent a career in racket sports, first as an All-American tennis player, then as a developer of emerging junior American tennis talent through his work at the San Diego State University, University of the Pacific, and Youth Tennis San Diego. Ryan is also tournament director at the WTA San Diego Open. Under Ryan's leadership, Barnes Tennis Center and the Youth Tennis San Diego is helping educate and train future generations of American tennis talent from diverse backgrounds. This tennis center has a focus on increasing access to tennis for all young people through fee-free options, along with a growing wheelchair tennis program. Youth Tennis San Diego's vision is to inspire and lead the international tennis community in transforming the lives of youth. Youth Tennis San Diego is a nonprofit organization, and they contribute to the development the developmental pathway of all youth by providing physical, mental, emotional, educational, and social platforms through tennis for our children to thrive. So I love highlighting programs like this on this podcast. I do love talking about how sport organizations can influence things like nature and the environment, art, and the importance of outdoor play, and so many different things like that. But it's also nice and refreshing to have conversations like this with Ryan, and talk about the daily realities of running a not-for-profit sport organization that is directly working with kids and directly working in communities and working to uplift them. And so it's so important to support programs like this because of what they are dealing with daily and how they're dealing with people directly. And so, yes, of course, it's important to have this bigger, wider discussion about how sport can influence some of the biggest challenges that we have. But programs like this sometimes have the biggest impact simply because they directly change people's lives. And that is what we're all about at this podcast. And so I really loved having Ryan on the podcast to talk about the work that they are doing to help young people and communities in San Diego access tennis and access sport to drive change, to change their lives, to create better futures for themselves, to learn needed skills, and sometimes get out of precarious situations. But we talk about all that in the podcast with Ryan, so I won't get too into it now. I hope everybody really enjoys this episode. Welcome today to my guest, Ryan Redondo, who is the CEO of the Youth Tennis San Diego at the Barnes Tennis Center. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And how about you just take a second and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor to be on. As we talked about before, just to be able to speak about sport and how it impacts, you know, the social component, the community and youth is really important to me and in our organization. So thank you so much for being a part of it. I grew up in a tennis family. My dad, when I was born, was the head coach at San Diego State University. He's the oldest of nine siblings. And most of them were very accomplished athletes, tennis and baseball particularly. And I had an aunt that got to the, I think, the round of 16 of Wimbledon. My uncle Walter was number one in the world in juniors. It was a top 150 player, beat John McEnroe. So, you know, kind of born into this sport family, right? On the other side, my mom's side, we're more teachers, artists, and whatnot. So a really beautiful blend, you know, for me to grow up in. I've been the CEO of Youth Tennis San Diego since May of 2020, so right during the pandemic. And prior to that, I spent almost about 15 years coaching Division I collegiate athletics, men's tennis particularly. Played tennis my whole life and competed all over the world on the U.S. national team. So got to experience a lot of what sport does, you know, positively, negatively, and how it transforms, had transformed me. And then in the coaching world, how it transforms, you know, individuals and young people. So that's a little bit about me. I'm heavily involved in all racket sports here in the United States and really at every single level, from a three-year-old's experience playing tennis to seniors to we run a WTA 500, number one player in the world comes through our center. So I really get a great exposure of what, you know, really social impact and what sport does for people.
Yeah. Awesome. And I'm super happy to have you on the podcast. You know, that's what we're all about: community, social impact, and, you know, building a stronger community for everybody to live in. So, I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. And that's, that's a very different background than where I'm from. You know, neither of my parents were that involved in organized sport at all. I was a swimmer for a long time and now I'm a coach. So I have, you know, kind of similar, experience in terms of, in terms of what you've seen and how it's impacted me and how it's now impacting some of the people that I coach. So I'm excited to hear more about your insights on that. But before we get into that, tell us more about the the Youth Tennis San Diego program.
Yeah. So Youth Tennis San Diego is a nonprofit organization. It's been around since 1952. So it's been an organization that's supported young people and youth for many, many years. Formerly the San Diego Tennis Patrons. And then in the end of the 80s, 89, 90, there was a dream of building a center for kids. And thus the Barnes Tennis Center vision and concept was born. And then the name change of the organization to Youth Tennis San Diego. And in 1993, I believe, Barnes Tennis Center was built. So we are an organization that runs this 16-acre facility, 51 racket courts in all, 25 tennis courts, 19 pickleball courts, 7 padel courts, gym, et cetera. And we also run youth programs throughout the city of San Diego in partnerships with Parks and Rec and the San Diego Unified School District and other districts as well. So we're pretty much everything under the sun in tennis in San Diego. For kids, that's what we do as an organization, amongst many other things that we can talk about in terms of programs and what we do here at the Barnes Tennis Center.
Okay, awesome. And so your stated mission is to contribute to the development pathway of all youth by providing physical, mental, emotional, educational, and social platforms through tennis for children to thrive. So how do you achieve that mission?
Well,
are in the process of achieving, I guess, or, you know, constantly working towards.
Yeah. So we have some, I guess I would, to answer that question, how do we satisfy or execute all of those things in that mission statement within what we do? Simple terms is programs, the programming that we have, that's the foundation of what we do. So the programs ranging from on-site, we have every program, every level that you can think of, for level meaning level of tennis and skill level for a kid to jump into. So we have a program for three-year-olds that are just, you know, kind of doing preschool and learning motor skills, to 18-year-olds that are world champions, winning, you know, national championships, traveling all over the world. So our programming is fundamental to our organization. Outside of the Barnes Tennis Center, what we do is we put tennis courts on blacktops. We go on to Parks and Recs where there's tennis courts, and we provide the programming. And that's where all, you know, quote unquote, the magic happens of what we do to fulfill our mission statement. It's right there on those centers and on those blacktops and here at the center. So the programming is fundamental to what we do. We do a lot of outreach in terms of scholarships, grants, et cetera, to support kids. We do a lot of partnerships with other organizations around the city to ensure that we're just maximizing our exposure and trying to help as many kids as possible.
Mm-hmm. So, and you know, through all these activities and through all these programs, what have you found to be most impactful of you know, of all the things that you do? So how have you seen it change, you know, the lives of the people that you interact with?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's so many ways in which we do that. But if we just break it down, just breaking it down to the core with youth programming, whether that's tennis, whether that's swimming, right? Whatever sport or art or performance art that you can think of, really what it comes down to is really the transformation of relationship and transformation of knowledge, transformation of skill from coach, teacher to child, to student. Right. And that's the biggest impact. When you add that to the social component of our programs, which are all group programs, you get the necessary things for development of a person. Right. So you're getting this interaction of wisdom. Right. And you're getting skill transformation, skill development. Then you're getting this social component where you're around other people. Just at a fundamental level, that is a development piece in itself that changes individuals, right? We see statistically when kids are isolated, when kids are not learning motor skills and the physical skills, that affects the rest of their development. Mm-hmm. So at a fundamental level, coach teaching kids in a group setting immediately sparks this kind of magic, this kind of development of a human. And then we can layer that down. What are they doing? Well, they're getting motor skills, fine motor skills, which then affect weight loss, you know, or a healthy body. We have a program at one of our sites in City Heights with Colch that provides healthy meals. So we're combining tennis with diet. They're getting the social interaction. They're out of harm's way in the inner city, right? We know that from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. is usually the most dangerous times for kids any kid to be negatively influenced right out of school. So our programs literally start right after that. So we're keeping them safe to emotional stability and emotional development. Whether you're in a rec and you're just learning how to hit a ball over a fence, or you're learning and you're working to win a national championship, there's this emotional component that you're having to develop, right, and control. And that's extremely important for life. We can go on and on and on, and that's what sport really does. And we can narrow down if you want specific examples or, you know, what I think of that. But there's so many things that sport does and what our programs do, you know, immediately in a social component and that transfer that I think is the most important thing that we do.
Yeah, I'd love to hear a specific example. You know, if you could talk about you know, maybe one specific program that you do run, and talk a little bit more about how that addresses all those things that you kind of touched on there. That would be great.
Yeah, sure. We have some great examples. One in particular, we have a young man here that works for us now as a coach that started with us in the inner city and in our program at Urban Village, named Ivan Thama. And he went from in one of the more hard hit areas of San Diego, very poor area. It's really developing now. It's getting better, but it's still one of the areas and demographics that are in need. He started at 5-6 years old, all the way to touring on the ATP tour with one of the best players in the world, getting his MBA. So how he did that is he started at one of our pro after school tennis programs and was just learning to hit the balls, and was able to graduate from level to level through our programs, all the way to then getting good enough through that site in tennis to joining our programs at Barnes Tennis Center, where we have most of our higher level or all of our higher level programs. So he was able to transfer, you know, what he was learning to develop all the way to the Barnes Tennis Center, to then having YTSD and some of our board members sponsor him to be able to travel and play tournaments, then to winning a national championship in the United States, to getting a full ride scholarship to UC Davis, to getting a scholarship to play at SMU to get his MBA, to then going on tour. So we have that example of how he was able to really continue all the way through. And that's really important to us. And that's something that as an organization, we want to replicate, whether that that child goes from that to ATP tour or that to a college degree or that to a job or that into a family, but learns the values of sportsmanship, learns the values of discipline, of dedication, of social impact and how that individual can help their community. That's how, that's what Ivan did. And that's what we're trying to replicate on a day-to-day basis with all of our programs and the mission of our, of YTSD.
Yeah. Incredible. And stories like that, I find, yeah, so impactful because they really do show, you know, exactly what you're trying to achieve. And, you know, so it's, yeah, you know, a success story that what you're, of what you've been doing or you, what, you know, with the kids that you've been working with for so many years. So that's, yeah, it's really incredible. And, you know, obviously it's definitely something that you want to replicate and you keep working with the kids that you're working with now to, you know, become that and work into that space. So I'm just curious, you might have touched on this a little bit already, but, when you're talking about those after-school programs, like in the case of Ivan, right. And for more disadvantaged communities, how are these programs accessible? Like, are they free after-school programming or like, is that, is it all subsidized or like, how does that work? Cause I'd imagine that, you know, for a lot of sports, it is quite expensive to get into. So, could you touch on how you sort of make it accessible for everybody?
Yeah, that's a great question. And accessibility is massive in sport, right? And a sport like tennis too, that's, the stereotype is it's for the rich or the wealthy. So what we do is it's more of an honor system in all of our after-school tennis programs. We do charge for it. So it's about $1 a session. It used to always be free, but what we found over time is having some kind of payment in, some kind of skin in the game actually helps retention. So the families, you know, they will bring the kids back and the kids want to come back. And so we do charge. It's $1 a session, $8. Some other sites in more affluent areas are a little bit more expensive. But if you can't pay for it, you don't have to. And then we also scholarship a lot of our kids and for the after school programs. We pay for the coaching fees. We pay for all of the equipment. We pay for all the permits where needed. So it's a large expense. We spend a lot of our donated money and what we earn on going back out in those after-school tennis programs.
Yeah, I think that's a really important piece. And I think that's really interesting that's kind of, I guess a piece of feedback that you've received or not feedback, but, you know, something that you've learned that, you know, that adult, you're charging for the session actually helps with retention. So I think that's a really interesting sort of lesson learned. And, you know, obviously, I would say that I would go as far to say that $1 is not that big of a barrier. I think that is still fairly accessible for, you know, most people. So I think that's, important. And that's, yeah, I think it's a really interesting lesson learned that you've come across there that can help other, programs working in this space as well. So that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
And I'll add on to that if I can. So that's for our after school program. And what we developed, it's about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, is called the JUMP program. That stands for Junior Tournaments Underwriting Master Plan. So what we have done, and this has really changed the landscape of competition and growing the game, and is a huge social impact component, in my opinion, is we provide free registrations for all what we call level 7 and junior circuit events in that are under the umbrella of the SETA and the USTA, United States Tennis Association. So to learn to play tennis is one thing, like our after-school programs, and to break that barrier down and that wall of accessibility with finances. That's one thing. But then you can learn and learn and learn and then say, okay, how do I compete? Or maybe I love this so much and I want a scholarship or I want to be a professional or I want to to do anything with the sport, but I can't afford to play a tournament that costs $60 for one day. Right? It's impossible. So we created the Jump program, which is registration free. And what that's done is no matter where, what background you come from, if you're from Beverly Hills to City Heights or anywhere in Compton or anywhere by the border, you come in and you play for free. And what we found is we have to actually cap the registrations because so many kids are playing, which is doing two things. They're teaching them competition. And as we know, competition creates a lot of values and it teaches a lot of values and benefits to individuals, right? And then two, they're around a lot of kids. So again, it's this social component in an individual sport that has done wonders. And so that is something that we really are proud of, that we're trying to expand. In addition to the AST program, we now have the Jump program, which combines competition. And who knows where it'll go, but that's something that's really, really cool that we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome that there's sort of that two-step accessibility. So they can, you know, access those programs upfront. And if they want to compete, then they're able to then go even further and you know, sign up to this Jump program. That's really interesting. I think sometimes when we think about these things, they're often combined together. You know, if you're, you know, youth program, you have to come to practice and then you also have to compete. And so I think kind of dividing those two things a little bit, I think it makes it a lot of sense because not everybody does want to compete. And some people are just there for the social aspect of, you know, the mental health and physical health aspect. So I think that's a really important item to touch on too. And, you know, the fact that it's, that you have to put a cap on it and max it out, I think that's a really positive side effect because there's so many people who do want to do those things. And that, you know, I think it goes to show how many people are, you know, involved in this program and want to be involved in the program. So, I think that's really awesome that you're able to, you know, fill up all these spots as possible. And, you know, hopefully you are able to expand that in the future and, you know, help even more people, you know, compete and who want to do that. So, that's really awesome. So, and I'm curious to know also, some of the challenges that you face in terms of delivery. Like, is it, you know, I know a lot of, you know, kind of sport for development programs are, you know, cash strapped, you know, there, a lot of them have, you know, a lot of them are very based on, you know, donations and grants and things like that. And which makes it difficult to expand programming to reach more people. And, but are there specific challenges that you face in your programming that limit your Absolutely. Ability to reach more people?
Yeah. You know, I mean, of course the finances is one, right? It's everything costs, right? And so it's the annual, all right, we've got to fundraise and hit X. We've got to get grants to hit X to be able to continue these programs. That's nothing new for any nonprofit organization. So that will always be the main challenge. But you know, when we're talking about what you said, like that two-step process from recreation to competition, in my mind, the first thing that came up is, oh yeah, transportation, right? That's an issue. Okay. So we have all of these sites and we have all these kids, mom and dad are not around. Mom and dad are around, but they're working. Who knows, but how do we get those kids to a site to actually compete if they're not on that blacktop or around tennis courts where they are? So that's a challenge for us is, you know, we've scaled so big where we're impacting tons, hundreds, if not thousands of kids in the city, but then how do we get them to where that tournament is, if that's what they want to do, to continue on and kind of have the same pathway as an Ivan Thama, right? So that's one challenge. Retention, right, is another one is, you know, how far can we take these kids? We're not their parents. We're not in their family. So we constantly have to find ways and chisel away of, okay, this is how we can keep this pathway going or whatnot. So does that look like scaling back to provide a bigger impact? Or does that look like scaling forward and trying to just touch as many kids as possible in terms of development and tennis? We don't know. So there's so many challenges that I think that sports and nonprofits find or face on a day-to-day basis to continue to impact, right? And then just consistently delivering, you know, time and time again is a part of our mission and our duties. And that's a challenge. You know, it's to grow and to be an organization of our size, but to have the goals of impacting as many people as possible positively is a challenge in itself. It's nothing is easy. And so there are so many things that I could probably go on and say, but I would say, you know, finances, transportation in our programs, coach development. So are we developing coaches? Are we hiring coaches that are skilled enough in the sport, in the emotional psychology, in social settings, in educational settings, to be able to transfer that wisdom appropriately to help develop the kids? There's just so many things that we can touch on this that we probably don't have time for, but those are the challenges of nonprofit sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I totally agree. And just from a perspective, as a coach, I'm still doing my coaching training. I've done some levels of for my swim coaching in here in Canada. And I'm currently in the process of moving up to the next level. And just like when you're talking about coaching development like that, especially for I would assume a lot of your coaches, it's the kind of their part-time job. You know, I'm making assumption here. I know for me, it's my part-time job. It's not my full-time. A lot of coaching positions are not paid. I think you mentioned that your coaching staff is paid, which I think that's a huge bonus. But, you know, for a lot of recreational teams and nonprofits, you know, it's often all volunteer, which makes it difficult for coaches to get that development, take those education courses that they're able to, you know, move up and get that training necessary, necessary to be able to provide, you know, even better services for the people that, you know, for the kids. And I think it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about, because, you know, when people are volunteering their time, you know, then if they have their own kids, they have to find someone to look after their kids while they're, you know, if they're coaching, or, you know, if they're away at a meet, or, you know, at a competition. You know, if they have pets, they have to get their pets, you know, taken care of somehow. There, you know, there's a lot of different things and, you know, barriers for volunteer coaches. So I think being able to help coaching development, whether that's, you know, offering them a little bit of money so that they're able to do that, or cut, you know, helping cover some of those development fees are important. So, it's interesting. It just made me think there, and you brought up an interesting point when you're talking about some of the challenges. And I'm glad that's
I think that's what sport does, is as you were talking, the word that came to my mind was sacrifice. You know, what you're talking about is people sacrifice time to make sure the kids are taken care of, pets are taken care of, compensation, you know, finances, that you're sacrificing not making money for sport, and to be able to do that. And that's, I think, the beautiful thing that sport does or is, right? It's kind of like religion. Like, it's this hope. It's a way of life. It's an art. And that's what sport does, is you're willing to sacrifice to be involved, whether you're a coach that's wanting to support others and help development, whether it's a player that's sacrificing their social life to develop themselves to get to a level. There's so many different things, but the way you were saying it just brought up sacrifice in sport, which is a really cool topic. And
you're definitely right. And it's a good sacrifice. I'm not trying to say it's a bad sacrifice, if that's what I was trying to come off as.
Well, but, I would say it's positive.
Definitely agree. It's a good sacrifice to be making, you know, helping other people is always, you know, a worthwhile sacrifice to be making. So I totally agree with you on that. So Ryan, you know, that's really all the questions I have. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I always end off with this one question though. And it's, what do you believe the power of sport is?
Ooh. It's a transformation individually. And what that does then to when individuals have this transformation in sport, what does that do to affect the rest of the community around that person? Whether that community could be family, that community could be club, school, church, city, whatever, we can say whatever we want, but the power of sport is amazing. And to me, when I start with the individual, right? So let's just use tennis. It brings a spiritual sense to an individual playing in a sport. So when whether you're a kid or a professional and you hit a tennis ball, right, and it's clean, or a golf ball, or you're hitting a baseball, that's a moment, right? So you hit this shot, and at that moment of hitting the ball, there is this presence that Buddhists are trying to do and meditators are trying to get to and are preaching, that they take hours. But in sport, you get that in 1 second. Or swimming, right? It might be that one glide through the pool that transforms you and brings you so present that you want to do it again and again and again. And that's very healthy, right? And so there's this spiritual sense to it that then transfers to all of the other levels that you have to do in your life to continue to get to that place. And then you want to spread that message, right? You want others to feel that. You want others to have that joy and that fun. And that's what the power of sport does. When you get to that point, and then I said you get to that community, then you get to sometimes this level of like a John Carlos, right? I believe that's his name, that was able to speak, you know, after a run or a sprint at a high level about politics or something. That's that level that sport and the power of sport brings you. So to a spiritual sense, to, you know, how it impacts the world, it's just a beautiful thing. And it's not just sport, it's art and it's other things, but in our world, it's sport. So that's what I feel, you know, the power of sport is.
Yeah. Beautiful. That was a really nice message to end off on. So yeah, once again, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And I think our conversation was really good. And yeah, you provided a lot of great insights and hopefully a lot of tips for other nonprofits working in sport and trying to, you know, have an impact in their own community. So yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It was an honor to be on.
Ryan Redondo is the CEO of Youth Tennis San Diego and the Barnes Tennis Center. Ryan has spent a career in racket sports, first as an All-American tennis player, then as a developer of emerging junior American tennis talent through his work at the San Diego State University, University of the Pacific, and Youth Tennis San Diego. Ryan is also tournament director at the WTA San Diego Open. Under Ryan's leadership, Barnes Tennis Center and the Youth Tennis San Diego is helping educate and train future generations of American tennis talent from diverse backgrounds. This tennis center has a focus on increasing access to tennis for all young people through fee-free options, along with a growing wheelchair tennis program. Youth Tennis San Diego's vision is to inspire and lead the international tennis community in transforming the lives of youth. Youth Tennis San Diego is a nonprofit organization, and they contribute to the development the developmental pathway of all youth by providing physical, mental, emotional, educational, and social platforms through tennis for our children to thrive. So I love highlighting programs like this on this podcast. I do love talking about how sport organizations can influence things like nature and the environment, art, and the importance of outdoor play, and so many different things like that. But it's also nice and refreshing to have conversations like this with Ryan, and you know, talk about the daily realities of running a not-for-profit sport organization that is directly working with kids and directly working in communities and working to uplift them. And so it's so important to support programs like this because of what they are dealing with daily and how they're dealing with people directly. And so, yes, of course, it's important to have this bigger, wider discussion about how sport can influence some of the biggest challenges that we have. But programs like this sometimes have the biggest impact simply because they directly change people's lives. And that is what we're all about at this podcast. And so I really loved having Ryan on the podcast to talk about the work that they are doing to help young people and communities in San Diego access tennis and access sport to drive change, to change their lives, to create better futures for themselves, to learn needed skills, and sometimes get out of precarious situations. But we talk about all that in the podcast with Ryan, so I won't get too into it now. But yeah, so I hope everybody really enjoys this episode.